Hey y'all, welcome back to Shades of Shonda J. It's your girl Shonda, and listen, I took a break over the weekend from doing vlogs, and I just said, you know what, maybe I'll just make this. I know I said daily, but I mean week daily. I was so upset when I woke up Sunday morning and I realized that I didn't do a vlog on Saturday. But it really was just a self-care day. I'm how sometimes we'll say, I did absolutely nothing. No, I did not do absolutely nothing. I laid in bed, watched TV, and I just watched things that I want to watch, and I just enjoyed the peace. And Sunday, we had to travel quite a bit. It was like a 3-hour drive one way, and I drove there, and I even drove half the way back. And so I knew what Sunday was going to be about. And so I was like, you know what, I'm gonna let myself off the hook and just call it a week daily podcast. So pardon me for misspeaking, but I had to give myself that grace. So I was relaxing to charge up my energy for the full day of traveling, anxiety, and everything. Part of the reason that we were traveling is because my niece actually had to report to Navy headquarters today at 5 p.m. She joined the military, and she is flying out to Chicago on tomorrow for 10-week boot camp. So probably around mid-May, we'll have to go and attend her graduation in Chicago. I need to probably buy those tickets ASAP. And, you know, she is going to do well. She, of course, is the oldest firstborn of one of my sisters. And we are excited about her new venture into the military. I think it'll be great for her as far as discipline. I think it'll be great for her just to kind of figure out what she wants to do with her life. So I love when people figure out what they want to do, or just even the process of figuring out what you want to do. You kind of stumble upon things that you might be able to do. And on a note of taking Saturday for myself and doing some self-care, I actually had my first therapy session in a couple of years. No, let me not lie. I had a couple of couples therapy sessions last year. No, was it last year? Might have been 2021. I don't know. I can't remember if I had any couples therapy sessions in 2022, but 2021 for sure. And so I reactivated my BetterHelp account and reconnected with the therapist today. And when I tell you guys, I'm such a crybaby. I was crying within the first 20 minutes of the conversation. She just kind of let me talk, and she asked me a very profound question, and I don't know why it made me cry. You know, I was telling her about feeling overwhelmed, having anxiety as far as, you know, different things going on. I was just mentioning about traveling anxiety. I really do have travel anxiety, especially when I'm not driving. And so I think probably to make things better between me and my husband, so that we don't have horrible travel experiences, I'm probably going to have to drive. And I know that's probably rooted in my control issues, so I'll have to talk to the doctor about that. But she asked me, you know, I was telling her about, you know, me feeling like I'm always taking care of everybody else. I'm always a listening ear. I'm always the voice of reason. I'm always trying to figure everybody's life out. And I feel like I'm not taking enough time for myself. I feel like I'm not really doing self-care. Now, you know, I had my ponytail in, my little drawstring ponytail. I put my lashes on. I said, me putting these lashes on and this ponytail on, this is the first that I've done this in some weeks, you know. And so I told her about my friend Rashonda, who had told me that maybe I was, you know, maybe a little bit depressed. And she kind of confirmed that. She was like, yeah, she's like, that's what it kind of sounds like to me too. And what she asked me was, this is a $1 million question. She said, do you believe that you deserve to make time for yourself? And I'm going to tell y'all, even right now, sitting here talking with this phone in my hand, my eyes are welling up because it's such a deep question, and it makes me think that I've got some really deep work to do, because logically my brain knows that I deserve to have me time. I deserve to have time to myself. I deserve to, you know, wear my purses. I deserve to wear the nice shoes. I deserve to have the, you know, not torn up piece of bologna or whatever it is when I'm making sandwiches, and not the end breads. Oh, I started to cry because I was like, I don't know if I truly believe that I deserve to take care of myself. I don't know if I deserve, I don't know if I believe that I deserve to spend time, spend money, spend energy on myself. And you know what's even secondary to that? I get upset with my husband when he dares take any time for himself, when he goes to the barbershop, when he goes to the mall by himself, when he, you know, wants to go a little early to his second job, even though it only takes him 40 minutes, instead of just walking in or leaving, you know, at 45, 50 minutes, he wants to go an hour and a half early so that he will have that extra time to maybe possibly stop and get him something to eat, or even just chill and think, you know, just sit in a car and wait for, you know, them to let him in. And I'm like, I could really do some, you know, I could really do some work in just watching how he handles things. When he's tired, he rests. When he wants to do something, he does it. When he doesn't want to do something, he doesn't. And I get so upset because I'm like, why isn't everybody sacrificing like I am? Why isn't everybody overworking themselves like I am? Why isn't everybody having as much anxiety and thoughtfulness and consideration as I am? And instead of having that mindset of over exhaustion and overthought and overanalyzing, why wouldn't I have the mindset of, oh, it's okay to sit back and relax. Oh, it's okay to take time for yourself. It's okay to go do something on your own without your kid, without your husband. Like, literally, it makes perfect sense in my brain, but in my body, I don't know if I truly believe that. And maybe that's why I haven't believed that or done that. Isn't that insane? You know, I don't want everything to always come back to my mother, because I love my mom and I know she absolutely did the best that she could. I just want to tell y'all this quick story for the sake of reference. There was this family in my little small town that, you know, I would say by all means, they were a middle class family. You know, they had things that us poor kids didn't have, but there were two girls in the family. And anytime there was anything to be done, pageants, cheerleading, anything like that, where, you know, the girls could be out front. This family put the girls out front. And I could see that my mom was watching them. Now, this, you know, I'm not going to say the names of this family because, you know, I don't want to. And knowing what I know now about this family and my mom's connection to the family, I understand why she was so obsessed with watching what they were doing and how they were operating. And so, you know, I just remember her saying, so-and-so and so-and-so, always putting them girls out front. They just want to put them girls out front. And the way that my mom talked about it made me feel like, well, being out front, being seen, being viewed is not a good thing. What I took from the conversation or from her comments was, you should not want to be seen. You should want to just be low. You want to be low. You don't want to be out there in front. Being out front was a bad thing. Being out front was you being braggadocious. And really, what it is, and you'll probably hear this a lot in these podcasts, my mom was raised by a woman who was raised by a woman. No, my mom was raised by a woman who was raised by a man. My grandmother's mother died when my grandmother was 11 years old. So right at the beginning of her formative years, my grandmother lost her mother and she was raised by a man. And so my grandmother really didn't get the woman training, the girl training, the lady training that she needed. Instead, she was raised in her formative years by a man. And it's no wonder not 4 years later, my grandmother ended up getting pregnant by someone when she was 15. Like, she loses her mother at age 11, and then she ends up being pregnant at age 15. And, you know, it's a philosophical question to say, well, if she'd had her mother, would she have still gotten pregnant at age 15? In those days, I mean, it's possible, but I highly doubt it. And so there was a lot of things missing and contributed to the fact that my mom, my grandmother ended up, you know, having a bunch of kids with the man who beat on her. And my mom grew up watching her dad beat up on her mom. My mom grew up without having a stable father in the home because my grandfather eventually married someone else and had kids with his wife, but was still coming to my grandmother's house and having kids with my grandmother. So knowing what that probably did to my mom's psyche. All that to say, you know, those, and I know this is, you know, I'm saying in quotations, those masculine traits that my grandmother probably learned from her father probably translated to all of my grandmother's kids, including her daughters. And she had five girls. So of course, if what you learn from your mother is masculine tendencies, then what will you teach your kids? And so that's my understanding of my mom's psyche. I, of course, wasn't there with her for, you know, the prior 17 years. My mom was 17 when she got pregnant with me, 18 when she had me. And I don't know what her life was like. I can only go by the bits and pieces that she has told us. But, you know, she was emotionally and mentally abused, told she was never going to be anything. And probably it made my mom feel bad to watch a family operate in goodness, operate in probably health, you know, and see what there's, what your only child, really what one of your jobs is as a parent, and that is to instill confidence in your children. And when you weren't taught confidence and you see it be displayed in other people in how they raise their kids, I could see how that could be something someone would envy or be jealous of. And so in that regard, my mom really needed to, and probably still needs to, do some work on herself, you know? And ultimately, that translates to me that what I got from my mom was not confidence. What I got from my mom was dimming myself. What I got from my mom was being small. And anytime I did anything big, like make the principal's list or make the honor roll multiple times or bring home trophies because I was an excellent volleyball player and softball player and captain of the cheerleading squad and in the band and in the gospel choir and a spelling bee champion. Anytime I did anything like that, she didn't really make that big of a deal about it. And so because she didn't make that big a deal about it, I still use that as motivation to go out here and get more things and show, hey, you know, I'm just as good as anybody else. I know you want me to shrink. I know you want me, but I just want you to see me. I want you to see how great I am. It's actually pretty sad, actually, when I think about it. Because you do everything. You've done everything that you could possibly do to show someone or just to fight for someone to see you. And they don't. And so when my therapist said to me today, do you believe that you deserve to take care of yourself? It hit to the heart of my psyche. It hit to the heart of, if you don't believe that you deserve to take care of yourself, then who do you think will take care of you? Who are you looking to take care of you? And I'm going to tell you, I have to be honest with you in saying that I expect my husband to take care of me. I expect, you know, other people to take care of me. When I fully know in my brain, there is no one else that will take care of me like I can take care of me. So why would I be expecting anybody else, my child, my mother, my husband, my family, my friends, anybody to take care of me if I'm not even taking care of myself? So whose burden is it to take care of me if not my own? And it almost even feels kind of like self-sabotage, because if I know this in my brain, why isn't it translating to my body that I need to make myself a priority, that I need to make me the best thing? I need to make me my own thing. She was asking me about my friends, just as a doctor. She was asking me about my friends. She was asking me if I had anybody that I could really call. She was asking me, you know, all of these great questions that, you know, I had to be honest with her and say, you know what? I always thought that once I got married and, you know, built that life, that life would consist of me and my husband and my child traipsing around the country, traipsing around the world, doing our own thing, traveling to Paris, traveling to Ireland or Scotland, going to Africa, and that sort of thing. And it never occurred to me that I would marry someone who that wouldn't necessarily be their thing, right? Because, of course, I feel like I can control everything and that I'm going to design my life the way I want my life to be. And the kind of life that I want is to have a husband that wants to follow me around the world, or not even necessarily follow me around the world, but who is on the same page as me when it comes to traveling the world and seeing everything, right? When real, and I'm gonna be honest with you, I don't even know that that's not my husband's wishes. You know, I've asked him a while ago. I was like, babe, you know, what are your hopes and dreams? Like, what do you want to accomplish in this world? Well, tell me some of your, you know, your greatest dreams and aspirations. And my husband said to me that he wants to buy a house, and that was essentially it. And I was so disappointed in his dream, because I'm expecting like this whole list of things that I could build upon and share with him. And it's not like I don't want a house. I absolutely want a house, but that's not the only thing that I want. I want to live in peace. You know what I'm saying? I want to travel. I want to learn how to play guitar and play piano. And I want to learn, you know, I want to record an album. And I want to write a children's book. And I want to write my autobiography. You know, I want to do all those kinds of things. And you know, what's disappointing is that I never considered that my hopes and dreams might not be my partner's hopes and dreams. And to be honest, it's almost like I kind of shitted on his hopes and dreams. I'm like, that's all you want? You don't want nothing else? I was very judgmental about his list of things. And I want to say it was like more than just a house. It was, you know, it was more than that. But it wasn't like the lavish thing, or what I'm calling lavish right now. It wasn't like this whole drawn out thing. You know, he's pretty simple in that. And it's not a bad thing. That's the thing that I'm trying to really convey here, is that he's not wrong for wanting to live his dream. He's not wrong for having, you know, a realistic goal or dream. And for me at the time to kind of like shit on his dream or judge it in the manner in which I judged it, my almost 44-year-old self is like embarrassed. Like, because we still don't have a house. So how practical was it for my husband to be like, yeah, I want a house? You know? I ain't even thinking about that. I'm thinking about all the other stuff. And he's thinking about, no, I want my family to be stable. It's amazing. It's amazing what you, as you get older, what you realize about yourself. It's amazing what you discover in these years of actually having the conversations out loud with people who are, who do this for a living, honestly. So, she set me up with, you know, talking about a daily routine.
which is something that I'm going to tell you that I am not accustomed to doing. I post on social media about my skincare routine, but my skincare routine is sketchy at best, especially right now. I'm self-diagnosed ADHD. You guys are going to hear me say that a lot. I get obsessed with something and I'll do it for a while, for like a period of 6 months, even a year. And then I'll be like, I don't want to do that anymore. You know? So I'll pick it up and then I'll put it right down. Or when I do pick it back up, then I'm obsessed for it for another 6 months. And then I'll put it right on back down. So even in my self-care, has not even been that consistent. And that's the thing that I need to put more in my life. I think not only just with the consistency and the discipline about self-care, but with everything, that'll probably just start making me feel better. And that's what a doctor was talking about today. That's what she was talking about today. So I'm really enjoying, it's only been one. This is the first one in a couple of years that I've done. And if she even remembered some things from when we first had the conversation. So, you know, it's nice to have somebody that really understands and gets it. I'm going to meet with her again next week. So I guess I'll update you on that. But I wanted to share that little piece of discovery today, that your girl don't even know, might not even believe that she deserves to take care of herself, because everybody else needs to be taken care of first. Everybody else's needs come first. Everybody else's food requests, everybody else's ticks, everybody else's everything comes before her. So what do you say, you guys, join me in rediscovering the person that I know is within me, a person who absolutely believes that they deserve to take care of themselves. How about that? And if any of you are experiencing some of the same things as we go through this, as I said, I'm going to be doing this weekday vlog, weekday upload of these types of conversations, just to kind of help myself get out of this little depressive mood, this low mood, you know. So leave some comments, you know, of things that help you guys cope and deal. Tell me your experience. If you got words of encouragement, you know, whatever your comments are, leave them in there. Even if you want to say, hey, chick, snap out of it. I'm open to that as well. Sometimes negative reinforcement is good as well. But thank y'all so much for listening. This ended up being better than I thought it was. I absolutely love doing the podcast in this way so that I don't have to worry about editing. I know you guys probably heard my toilet flush. You guys probably heard, you know, all sorts of things. But thank y'all so much for listening, for the 1, 2, 3 of you guys that, you know, always listen in. I appreciate it. Subscribe to the channel. Make sure that you are following my podcast on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts, especially on Anchor.
And I'm gonna leave it there. Thank y'all so much. I will talk to you guys tomorrow.